We are here with the first LinkedIn Live show today and for coach.me, what we call the Coach Me to Lead show. So I'm very curious how this is going. Like I said on LinkedIn before, it's like an oh shit moment. I'm really excited and curious because I'm doing this with you, Gwen Greedle, my friend, but also really scared that I have no clue how this is going to end up on LinkedIn Live. But, you know, how wrong can it go? Right?
That's right.
I probably won't die. So,
no.
Welcome if you join on LinkedIn Live, and welcome to you, Gwen Greedle.
Thanks.
I am really looking forward to this. And if you have questions for Gwen, just do it in the comment sections on LinkedIn. That's the only place we're just showing this live right now. And also, if you like what we're talking about, just click the like so more people see this. That's what we, of course, also prefer to do this to make it spread. And I want to talk to you with you, Gwen, about leadership and, well, of course, also the combination with coaching through habits. So I'm curious to learn from you. What do you, who is the person you coach mostly in business?
Okay. Well, it's great to be here, Arno. And if anybody is in the audience right now, I'd love to have you type in the chat where you're calling in from. It would be really fun to hear. Since Arno is in the Netherlands and I'm in Minnesota in the US, we're already an international broadcast. So it would be fun to hear where other people are from. So your question about who do I see the most of in coaching for business? And well, I specifically work a lot with technical professionals. So people who are engineers, scientists, and medical professionals. So I work a lot with people who are in those fields. But I also work with people who are in all different kinds of industries as well. And the kinds of things that they generally come to coaching for are, you know, I would say simple. They sound simple, but they're the things that we all struggle with. And a lot of times I work with people after using an assessment. So I commonly use the DISC assessment. And so we find out what their DISC style is and then hone in on what their particular challenge is around that. So the kinds of habits that we work on are things like making decisions more quickly. If you're someone who is a slower paced person who needs a lot of time to think, sometimes it's helpful to be quicker on your feet. For someone who's really extroverted, sometimes slowing down and listening to others and not being the first one to speak in a group is a habit to work on. Or for others who are quieter, speaking up more quickly and having the courage to say something in a meeting when you're not exactly sure what you want to say. So all of these things are challenges we all have, but they can have a big impact on your career. So we work on those little things and then grow from there. And you know, some of these things have to do with self-regulation, but there's also more nuanced things like, gee, I'm getting feedback that I'm not connecting really well with people. And then we try to figure out what it is. And for instance, one fellow I had, we honed in on a tilt of his head, that it was sort of a manner of speaking and a tilt of his head kind of gave the impression he was talking down to others. And you know, really subtle thing. sometimes it's just, you know, with technical professionals especially, they are so focused on their expertise that it can be even, you know, even for themselves, they get, I had one guy last month who was so focused on his work that he couldn't let it go. And so he was under a lot of stress at home. And so we worked on how he could become more mindful and kind of let go of hanging on to his work during the day, so, because he was so, you know, just it very important work, takes it very seriously, has very high standards. Those sorts of things can lead, you know, lead to a lot of stress. And it was really impacting his life. So he really wanted to change it.
So on one hand, it sounds like they're all very typical challenges that people have. But at the same time, I know also that they just happen all the time, right? So you see the same when you work longer with the coachee, you see the same issues coming up over time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. And you do all the coaching virtual?
Well, I started doing everything virtual during during COVID, but if obviously if they're in Minnesota, I can meet people in person.
And you also use coach.me like I do. Mm-hmm. What do you feel is the importance of using the chat-based coaching in your coaching with clients?
Well, you know, what I found is it's really remarkable how much you can learn about a person through chat. So as you know, coach.me is a chat-based platform, which means you're texting back and forth between the coach and the client. And so the messages tend to be shorter. It really depends on the person's style, whether they tell you a lot of information or give you very little bits of information. But you can, I have a client right now who we are just stunned at the connection that we have, that I can pick up on in her message, kind of where her mood is at and where her motivation is. And we are really relating to each other very closely. So it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes it's just, I'm using a coach on the platform for a running injury that I'm having right now. And I tend to write short messages like what I do and that's it. But I also have a client, she writes pages of feedback of what she's been doing all day and what happened to her schedule and so on. So it's so different, but it's also so, even if they write short messages, it's easy to pick up, like you said, like these signals, if they are just going in the wrong direction or they're just getting stuck or if they don't message, right? So you follow up with them. Mm-hmm. So there's so many opportunities to use the chat. But also I like adding like Zoom sessions, for example, with clients so that you meet them sometimes like virtual, but still you can see face-to-face and have an opportunity to have like a real discussion about topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like to start coaching agreements or coaching engagements with a, even if it's going to be all virtual or even all chat, I still like to start with a face-to-face meeting, right, virtually, so that I can get a sense of the person and kind of hear more of their story and kind of fills out the picture a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. It helps me to determine what the coaching goal is, what their goals are. Mm-hmm. And you can make it easier to start getting a feel of the direction, what they want to do. Yeah. And what I understand, you also coach like teams in companies. How does that work for you in, you know, between the people in those teams when you coach them? Does it help you when you see like different aspects of the company through these different people?
Yes. So I do, you know, intact team coaching, or you know, team building, some people might call it. But we also have this new product on coach.me that is group coaching. And that's where we work with, for instance, a team of leaders who may be leaders across an organization who come together and do this chat-based group coaching. So we're expanding the one-on-one coaching to groups. And for instance, right now I'm working with a team of leaders who are in a company that has many different businesses. And so they all do very different things, but they're going through this process together. And so the modules are set up for 4 weeks at a time, and five, and the habit that we're working on is working on something to develop your leadership every single day, you know, because habits for, you know, people come into coaching and they want to change a lot of things right away. Like, I want to do this and this and this and this and this. And we have to narrow it down because we, you know, we have our eyes are bigger than our stomach sometimes. And so with this group coaching program, especially the leadership coaching, what we're calling LXO, it's a series of modules, and each module is 4 weeks, and there's five exercises a week. So each day there's a very short exercise that's 15 to 30 minutes, takes no longer than 30 minutes to do. And each of the exercises leads up to a result or a deliverable by the end of the week. And it has to, the exercises, for instance, the first module is called Coaching the Play, and all based on sports metaphors. And so this is setting your team up for success, this particular module. And the first week is focused on identifying all your projects that you and your team have on your plate. And I am surprised to find out that many people don't have these projects written down. They don't have a place where they're managing that. It's all in their head. And what a relief by the end of the week to have captured everything that's in your head and have it down, so that you can start prioritizing, you can start delegating, you can start doing all sorts of things with it that relieve your own stress as a leader, as you start building other leaders within your team.
Mm-hmm. At the bottom of the screen, I've also put the URL where you can go to the program you just talked about.
Oh,
I can
great.
Actually just do this, and you can see the page
yes,
where it is. So if you go to this link, then you see the page where it is, and you see our friend Kendra. She explains in this video about the course and about you. So this is a great way to look at this idea that you just mentioned. And you talk about these minor habits that you're coaching, like writing down these projects, but why is it so important to focus on these minor actions, these small actions?
Oh, wow.
Not minor, small.
Well, yeah, small. Well, because it's what we do every day that that makes up our life. You know, what I eat every day it leads to whether or not I'm going to be the weight I want to be. And so that's probably the easiest example to relate to that. Or, you know, exercise, what you do every day becomes, you don't have to think about it anymore. It just becomes a natural part of your everyday. We use in coach.me, we use a lot of the technology around habit forming. So choosing a really small, very, very small behavior that you can do, that you can be successful every day and build from there, so that it becomes natural and it feels like no effort. So we're working on all the ways that we can build habits successfully.
And I get that. I'm all into habits, so it sounds very normal to me. But I can also understand if you are like in a leadership role and you think, how can a leadership be like a habit? What habit do I need to become a better leader? Do you have like examples?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really good thing to bring up, Erno, because a lot of people, like when I teach a class, you know, people think that I'm going to teach them the right way to be a leader. There's no right way to be a leader. It's a matter of getting to know yourself and to understand that other people see the world differently, and then honing in on your specific situation and finding out where are barriers to you connecting to people. What are the behaviors that you do that might be getting in the way of you having the impact you want to have? And it may be really subtle. So it can be really tiny things. For a non-specific answer?
Yeah, but if you, like you mentioned just before, the guy that tilted his head.
Yeah.
But how do you pay it? Because habits are so ingrained into a system. So we talk about good habits, bad habits, for example, the book, which is an interesting book, Good Habits, Bad Habits, by the way. Mm-hmm. But if you have like a bad habit like that, it's very difficult to change that behavior because it's like a habit and you do it automatically. You have no, you are not aware that you are doing it in the moment. Mm-hmm. How can you help them to change like habits that don't function as a leader, for example?
Yeah. We try to get feedback from others to get a sense of what it might be. I watch the person. You know, in this particular case, this was somebody that I was on video chat with, so I could see the person and observe them and pick up on the nuances. And even though it might not be something that bothers me, it's something that, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I think that might be perceived as being condescending, the way you just said that. Like, you know, sometimes the way people say things or their, you know, could be the lilt of their voice or something. And, you know, coaching is a safe space to be able to talk about those things with someone. And then the person tries something, you know, they become aware of it.
What I understand is that you work a lot with people in technical roles, and they are maybe thinking about or transitioning into a like a managerial role, right? So I have like a technical education, so I have like a technical background, and I think it is very normal to think that if you grow from like a technical background to like a managerial role, it feels like you're moving upwards, right? It's very difficult to decline an offer like that. But I also think that there's a lot of technical people who are just happier in their technical role. Mm-hmm. How do you see that? What do you notice that?
Well, I do think it's a fascinating thing. One thing I learned from I spent 15 years working in a hospital, and one thing I learned about physicians is that they don't see it as a hierarchical. Management is not a move up to them. It's actually crossing to the other side, the dark side, in that particular environment. And so, you know, they don't see hierarchy the same way. So, you know, medical directors typically supposedly supervise other physicians, but they find that very difficult to do because they are colleagues. And so I remember the first time I was going to do a 360 feedback survey with a physician, and a 360 is where you obviously get candidates to give you feedback who are people that report to you, people who are colleagues or peers to you, or and people that you report to. And when I used the word direct report, he didn't know what the word direct report meant. Like it was, you know, in the business world, we know what that means. But in the medical world, that's not a concept. It's like a different language. And so there's that, where they see the relationship very differently than a typical business environment. But in other technical fields, you know, if, you know, companies have dual career ladders where you can either go up the technical ladder or the management ladder. And it's, I found that it's a very painful decision. If you've spent years developing an expertise in a technical field, oh, it's really hard to think about moving away from that technical expertise and using and focusing more on people. On the other hand, you know, in companies, many companies, it's more lucrative or more quickly lucrative. And it's attractive in many ways. So actually, I've developed a process to help people make that decision, because what I find is that people often have they're being courted by various other people in the organization who may want something for them, but it may not be what they want. So I try to provide a neutral space where somebody can really figure out what it is they want for themselves, because everybody else in their life has a vested interest in what they're going to do. And it can be very difficult. And sometimes the fear is that they can't go back. If a technical person crosses over to management, can I go back if I don't like it? And that can be very scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I'm not sure. I don't think I felt it was scary at that time. But do you see that people actually go back to a technical role?
Yeah, some do. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
What is for you, and you said you have like a process for that. Is it all like a fixed program do you have for that? Or is it just like you make it like with the candidate that you're talking to at that time?
I do have a fixed model or a process that I take people through. I do it by individual and I do it by group as well. It's really fun to do it as a group, because then everybody gets to hear each other's challenges and they realize they're not alone in their decision. And so it is a specific process, but each person, it's very unique for each person. Everybody has their own situation that makes it very different. Some people have kids, some people, you know, have, you know, there could be all sorts of, you know, characteristics in somebody's life or situations that people encounter that influences whether they want to go one way or the other.
Do you see that when a company really is looking for managers, that the pressure is that they're getting more pressure and stress from that decision to move in that manager position? Was my question clear?
Yeah. Well, I think it really depends, you know, on what the, if there are many candidates, the pressure may not be so much, but I think what happens is that somebody who, you know, in a technical field, in technical industries, you probably have a lot of people who are heads down technical experts. And if there's somebody who has more so-called people skills or seems to enjoy developing people, they're going to stand out as someone who might be a good candidate for being a manager. And so everybody kind of assumes that that's what they want to do. But it may not be what they want to do. So there's, it's kind of a subtle pressure. It's not really overt, but they might be considered high potential or something, and then they get, you know, they sort of get shuffled along in a process, and without realizing that they actually have a choice. And you know, I have one person who had small children, and he definitely knows he wants to be in management at some point. And after some consideration, after we worked on it for a while, he decided that he would wait because spending time with his kids while they were young was too important to him, that he didn't want to. It made a huge change for him because he was definitely on the management track. And so he intentionally pulled back and is developing his leadership skills still, which is important to do, so that you don't fall behind in your abilities to be a leader. But he's going at it in a different way.
Yeah, two things on this, because I think that's a lovely decision. That's really a smart decision. One that I think is important is if you have kids, you want to see them grow up. And then mm-hmm. otherwise, if you just go on the fast track and, you know, when you're in your 40s and you go like, oh, I miss my children, I miss seeing mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And now they're off to school and I don't see them. Maybe once in 4 weeks mm-hmm. in the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I think a smart decision. And also what I've noticed is that because I mentioned a couple of times managerial roles, but like you said, so leadership is not necessarily connected to leadership role. Mm-hmm. Sorry, to a managerial mm-hmm. role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there are some things that I think, you know, the having the responsibility, you know, you really can only get that in the management role. So there is, I mean, I think it's a difficult thing. And I think I'm hoping that companies are becoming aware of this because there's such a bias towards moving up young, ambitious people. And those are the people who are losing out on their time with their children. And then there are really talented people who have matured and have grown children and maybe haven't had the same experiences, but they want to move into a more responsible position. And so I'm hoping that there's a shift in organizations that they're looking at older employees as potential leaders in the organization.
Yeah, and I think it is logical that you think that, you know, when you're younger, there's more ambition there and you can mold people a bit more mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, you can set them into the goals that you want to accomplish, and that when you do this with older people that they are more stuck to their own way and their own habits and are difficult to change. Mm. Why do you think it is, what's the advantage of getting more older people in these leadership roles?
Well, if, for one thing, they might be empty nesters and have more time. They have the wisdom that's come with experience. They know the organization really well. And, you know, they may have developed some really strong skills that help them. And they might not have to make the same mistakes as a younger person might.
Do you see a change over time, because you've been doing this for quite some time now, in the number of females getting into this role? Mm, mm.
Yeah.
Women?
Yeah, women. Yes, I do see more, you know, in the technical fields that I, where I see people. And more women in general in management roles. There still is a bias where women still feel like they're not heard. And so when I coach individuals, women, it's a lot about showing up and stepping into your power and being heard. Especially in technical fields, it's quite difficult.
Why do you think that is in technical fields special?
I haven't looked at the research, but my guess is that, or I haven't looked at a lot of the research, but feminine leadership is softer, I guess I have looked at the leadership, at the research around it, and men tend to be, more forthcoming or just assume that they can say something, whereas women might be a little more, hold back more, and it really does become a barrier to, they're softer spoken. These are not stereotypes. These are, realities. And especially, there are so many women that are from other countries for whom English is a second language. And so that makes it even more difficult, when someone has an accent or might be difficult to understand, that makes it even more difficult.
Mm-hmm. I believe that, I think you can see it a little bit in the international leadership roles that are very visible, like prime ministers from countries, for example, mm-hmm. right? So there's like, we know the familiar people like Jacinda from New Zealand, but there's people from Sweden, the Scandinavian countries here in Europe. There's a lot of female positions over there. And they tend to do, there's obviously research there, which is really cool, because companies who have female women in leadership roles, they tend to do like 40% better on sales and on growth mm-hmm. of their mm-hmm. value, of the company value. Mm-hmm. And so do you see that the C-level understands it and tries to get more women into leadership roles?
I think it's rare that there's that sort of awareness. I think, people are really just trying to do their job, and there are some people that, there are women leadership development or leadership development programs that are focused on women, and some companies support that, which is good. But when it comes to time to hire a new C-suite member, it's difficult.
And the research is there too, because like the habits that we talk about a lot here is we look for familiar faces, familiar, mm-hmm. similar kind of people. So if mm-hmm. the C-suite mm-hmm. is now men, we look mm-hmm. like, without realizing it, we're looking for men. Mm-hmm. And even if the woman is more capable, mm-hmm. the face is different, the mm-hmm. feeling is different. So then mm-hmm. we favor the male, and which is not right. But so I think a training and like coaching on that part could be really helpful to make mm-hmm. the C-level aware of this, so that they have like a more diverse search for new colleagues on that part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe we should start a program for that. I'm really into more equal chances. Equity. And more diversity, right? So mm-hmm. let's get at least the level, the playing field on the same, talking mm-hmm. about
Sports metaphor.
Yeah, right. Making it, you know, the same level. I know there was a difference, and there should be, because that's why, you know, in some parts they're better or react differently, which is good. We shouldn't want to change it, but we should make at least level the chances that we get to the same position, for example. Well, it's been really great talking to you, Gwen, about this. What I want to do, and maybe you can do that, help me here. I want to do this, and then I have to, hopefully this works. I have to switch to, does it work? If I go to switch to, I'm not sure if it works. Because I want to scroll through this page. Does it scroll on the screen now?
Yes, it is. Can you scroll it.
Okay, so can you talk us through this program, how this works?
Okay, so this is a new group coaching program through coach.me. If you go to coach.me, you'll see this. And if you do /LXO, that'll take you to this actual page. And each module is 6 weeks. So there's an onboarding week, and then the 4 weeks of daily exercises, and then there's an action planning week. And so that's what makes up the 6 weeks. We're offering it at a special price right now of $199.99. Normally it's $399.99. And we take you through the calling the play module. And each week it has a different focus, and it's ideally for, you know, it's really for new leaders, people who are new to a leadership role and maybe don't know how to set up their team, like how many meetings, what meetings should we be having, you know, how can I be delegating, you know, what should I be looking for when I delegate, that sort of thing. And it's also for people who have been in a leadership role and they maybe want to have a tune-up. And this is our public offering. So we offer this to organizations. So it's closed to people in that organization. But this particular page is open to the public. So we're gathering people from multiple companies, which I think will be really fun. For people to hear from each other, what kind of challenges they have. And then, so the daily exercises people do on their own. And then we come together once a week for a 1 hour office hour. So I facilitate discussion for the people who come together in the live session. It's a live discussion where we talk about the exercises that and how they went for people. But also talking about just leadership challenges, you know, conflicts, you know, how to sort out various challenges that are coming up. So it's kind of an open, it's an open hour to discuss anything that's on people's minds. So each week we have a 1 hour live session.
And I think that is really, because I think that is something that I've missed when I was like in my manager roles in the past, is that you have like people to talk to. Well, I did an MBA, and there I had people from in different management roles from different companies, and you do projects together and you learn so much from how people work in other companies, what's working in their company, what's not working, and how you can maybe copy some stuff of them. So and then of course you get like feelings of acknowledgement when you talk about something that's bothering you, then they have like similar issues in their job or in their leadership role. I think that's so wonderful if you have like people to talk to about your issues, especially when you're like, for example, in a smaller company and there's not many people you can talk about in your company about the things that you worry about. Or for example, it's sometimes difficult to talk to your manager or to the owner of the company, for example, about the things that you have. And you have like a team of managers in like similar situations. It's so much easier to talk to them about the situations and learn then yeah, if you would ask it within your company without feeling that if you ask these questions, then people, you know, would think differently of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's totally true. That it's difficult. That, yeah, in my group programs, that's what people say the most, is that I don't have anybody else I can talk to about this. And it's so wonderful to have a group of colleagues to be able to discuss it with. The other thing is, you know, leadership development is changing. And, you know, people don't have as much time to devote to leadership development. And so when they do spend time doing leadership development, it has to be really focused on something they need. And so having a coach is a really effective way to develop your leadership skills, because you're getting just what you need and you're focusing on your specific situation. You're not getting a lot of theory. And this is a combination of both a program that guides you through some basic skills, but it also gives you the opportunity to focus on your own specific needs.
And I think you bring up a great point there, because now I can ask you a bit. So why are you so well equipped to do this? You've built these programs specifically for people and fine tune them to their situations, and that's what you've been doing all along. But explain some about what you did in the past, for example.
Well, I've spent my entire career, more than 25 years, working in organizations doing leadership development kinds of things, running programs, doing coaching. Helping people write development programs, you know, coaching them. And then 8 years ago, I left the corporate world and started my own coaching and consulting business. And part of that was joining coach.me and getting clients through coach.me and learning how to do this chat-based coaching, which is, you know, very unique and effective way of helping people develop themselves. And and then also I work part-time, or I run management development programs, or leadership development programs for Harvard Business Publishing. So I work with people, with leaders at all levels of the company. So I, in my own business, I work with emerging to mid to senior leaders, and get to see up close and personal from one-on-one conversations and in teaching classes. I hear about, you know, what's happening for them, really boots on the ground kind of thing. And then with the Harvard programs that I run, I see what, you know, many global companies are struggling with. I see what the big issues are. And from having access to Harvard Business Publishing, you know, HBR, I see what the most requested kinds of topics are. So I have a lot of experience, both up close and personal, and then from a broad perspective, what is happening in the leadership development world.
And the way I see it, and I think which is necessary if you want to acquire new skills or leadership habits, is that you combine teaching, so the educational part about, mm-hmm. and that's what you've been learning, you know, the last 25 years or even longer, and then doing the actual work, so applying the work so that you experience it. So that's mm-hmm. so you learn the basics, you learn the theory, and then you practice it, and you get feedback on what you practice. So that's, I think, mm-hmm. the faster track to acquiring new skills and to get into new habits is that loop, right? So educational, get the basics, get the theory, and then applying it, and then mm-hmm. you know, getting a coach who's giving you these small hints how to improve, so that you, every time you get better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really important.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Gwen, it was a delight for me to have you as the first guest on the Coach Me to Lead platform. And it was wonderful talking to you and to learn about your work, about your coaching. And if you have questions, even when it's not live anymore, just go in the chat in the comments and just ask questions, and we will reply. Gwen will reply. And, you know, if you have questions about the program, and I can actually show you something. I think I could. I'm not sure where it is. Where is my things? I don't know where it is. Oh, here it is. See, I can actually show this.
Wow.
So if you want to start this program, and then you know, it's easy to start, and like I said, we start pretty soon. And if you register now, you get it for this prize, I think, which is a wonderful prize to start working on this.
It works.
I know. Isn't it amazing? So that, you know, it makes it easy for you to start. And, you know, if you have questions about the program, just send us a message, send Gwen a message, or send me a message. We love to answer and have you in the program and to help you with this when you are in the leadership role, or you're just starting a leadership role, or you are probably moving into a leadership role. We love to help you there. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to see you there. Thank you very much, Gwen.
Thank you, Arno.